the mouth of God, and God's will for life from His Word is taken from 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 22. Brothers and sisters, these are the words of God. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to Him. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. As we prepare to hear from the proclamation of His word, let us go to Him in prayer and ask for the Spirit's blessing. Will you pray with me? Keep, we beseech Thee, O Lord, Thy church with Thy perpetual mercy. And because the frailty of man without Thee cannot but fall, keep us ever by Thy help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Open us, Lord, speak into the inner regions of our hearts, deep down into our souls. Make Yourself known to us more in Your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of Your Holy Spirit. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together. Our sermon text this morning is taken from Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17, through chapter 2, verse 10. Jonah 1, 17 to chapter 2, verse 10. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Jonah 1:17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and You listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All Your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from Your sight. Yet I will look again toward Your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But You brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered You, Lord, and my prayer rose to You, to Your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of His holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we continue our sermon series through the book of Jonah. We continue today by hearing from Jonah chapter 2. As is every Lord's Day when we hear from God's Word, it's an opportunity for the Lord to work in each of us, in our minds, to increase our knowledge of Him, in our hearts, to increase our love for Him, and our worship for Him. And we rejoice at this opportunity, for His Word is life. Now, a review from a couple weeks ago from chapter 1. In chapter 1 of Jonah, the Lord sent His prophet Jonah to the great Gentile city Nineveh. And he was sent to call the Ninevites to repentance. And according to God's law in Deuteronomy 32, when God's people make Him jealous with false gods, as Israel did at the time of Jonah, the Lord will go to a false people. They worship a false god, He goes to a false people, and that is, He goes to the Gentiles. Jonah knew that this situation spelled doom for Israel, so he disobeyed. He ran away, and he got on a ship for Tarshish. And God attacked the ship Jonah was on, the ship on which he was trying to escape. And the Lord threw a storm upon the ship, and the sailors threw him into the sea to save all those on board. Jonah was sacrificed for the sailors, and as a result, the sailors were converted. Now this morning, as you notice, we begin actually on the last verse of the first chapter. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And if you look at readings today, studies today on the book of Jonah, this is where the story gets unbelievable for many. Because not only does the great fish swallow Jonah, but the second chapter concludes with the great fish spitting him out alive. To the natural man, this is impossible, right? But if you consider from beginning to end of the Bible, we begin with a talking serpent. We continue with Jacob wrestling with God Himself, with Moses parting the Red Sea, and even Balaam having a back and forth with his donkey. And the climax of this entire book, in fact, the climax of history, is a man dying a real and complete death, but rising from the dead. Brothers and sisters, God has no limitations. He can do anything. And we'll invite the boys and girls up in a little while, and we'll see what childlike faith is in response to what we read in God's Word. So, adults, we suffer from this the most. Don't think yourself smarter than God. Take Himself at His word. And when He says a great fish swallowed Jonah and spit him out alive, we take Him at His word. Now, the fish, why a fish? Why not a yeti or a grizzly bear? The fish is symbolic in two ways. First, the fish represents an ark to Jonah. There are parallels with Jonah and Noah and their stories. If you look at Noah, God brought judgment in water upon the wicked people of the earth during Noah's day, and God crushes disobedient Jonah with the judgment of waters. Also, do we remember what Jonah's name means? It means dove. Jonah's name means dove, such as Noah from the ark sent out a dove over those waters. Secondly, the Lord was teaching Jonah. He was teaching Jonah, and subsequently He was teaching Israel, disobedient Israel at that time. And He was teaching them with the fish. The Israelites understood biblical imagery, biblical symbols, and the fish was symbolic. In the Bible, the sea and fish are symbolic of Gentiles and Gentile nations. In the Psalms, we read about the raging seas that surround Israel. Those are the Gentile nations. The waters of the seas scared Israel as they looked out, as they lived on the land but looked out to the seas. the scary Gentile nations. If you consider the Levitical sacrifice system, what animals did the Israelites offer on the altar? They offered an ox, a goat, a lamb, a dove, and a pigeon. No fish, right? No fish. They could eat certain kinds of fish, good walleye, but they didn't sacrifice them on the altar. But when you start in Matthew, what do you see right away? Jesus shows up, and all of a sudden we see water everywhere. We don't see that in the Old Covenant. The only real reference to waters is in the Psalms and Jonah. Jesus taught at the Sea of Galilee. He got on a boat. He taught from a boat. And when he called disciples, he didn't call farmers and shepherds, which most of the Israelites were. Whom did he call? Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He called fishermen. And he said, I will make you fishers of men. Because eventually they would go to the Gentiles. And if you read through John's Gospel, we see in the last chapter when the disciples find Jesus on the beach, see him by a fire and he's roasting marshmallows, right? No. He's grilling fish. And from there, Jesus sent his disciples, his apostles, to disciple the Gentile nations. And even Paul in the book of Acts, what does he get on? He gets on a boat and he goes to the Gentile nation of or the Gentile city of Rome. This great fish that swallowed up Jonah was a big, fat Gentile ark that was going to help and protect God's people, Israel. The Israelites had been disobedient. As part of God's covenant terms from Deuteronomy 28, if Israel's faithless, what does he do with them? Sends them off into exile. And that was what was awaiting Israel. The northern tribes would go into exile, they'd go into a Gentile nation. And the powerhouse Gentile nation at that time was Assyria. And the great city in Assyria was Nineveh. The Lord was going to send Israel to Nineveh, and Nineveh would protect like the great fish. Great city, Nineveh, great fish. Now, chapter 2 is all of Jonah's prayer to the Lord from the belly of the fish. It is a prayer of repentance. If you have your Bibles open, you look at the text. Verse 1, from inside the Lord, I'm sorry, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. This grave, from the depths of the grave, this is the Hebrew word Sheol, which you will see in the Psalms. You will not leave my soul in Sheol. This is the place of the dead. This is where Samuel was when Saul had a necromancer bring him up. Saul had Samuel brought up from the grave, from the place of the dead. The Greek word for the place of the dead is Hades. You've probably heard that more frequently. Jonah prayed to the Lord from the place of the dead. So what can we draw from that? What happened to Jonah? He died. And we'll see how in the following verses. Now, earlier in the worship, you heard from Matthew 12. Just like Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in Sheol, in the fish, Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, you may have asked yourself this before. If you're astute with the weekly calendar, boys and girls, how many days do we have on the calendar in a week? 7? Sunday through Saturday? Those of you who are pretty familiar with the weekly calendar, 3 days, three nights, okay? You might have noticed a problem with that promise. He will spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, is what Matthew 12 tells us. When we approach Holy Week, we celebrate Christ's crucifixion on Good Friday. And we celebrate His resurrection on Easter, Resurrection Sunday morning. So how did Jesus, from Friday dying, squeeze in 3 days and three nights? How do you do it as a dead man? Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, or the heart of the land. That's another way to translate it. The heart of the land of Israel was the city of Jerusalem. putting together Christ's passion and his death. He started on Thursday night, right? Maundy, Thursday, that's when they arrested him. We have Friday day, Friday night, Saturday day, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Jesus was in Jerusalem 3 days and three nights. So that's how we reconcile. That's where he suffered and died. Jonah, like Christ in the ground, was dead in Sheol. How did he die? Verses 3 and 5. He prays, "Lord, you hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me." Verse 5. "The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head." This is what Sheol was like. This is how he died, and he goes to Sheol, verse 6. "To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God." So Jonah descends to the roots of the mountains. He's in the sea. So in the roots of the mountains, in the sea. It's deeper than the bottom of the mountains. And the earth bars him in. He's looking up like he's in jail. The earth has barred him in. You heard earlier from 1 Peter 3, where the crucified Christ preached to the spirits in prison. After Jesus died, he preached to the spirits in prison. This is Sheol that's being described. This is Hades. Same place. The prison of the dead. The prison of the dead for both good and bad. Remember I mentioned Samuel was there. They all went to Sheol. Jesus too. And this is what we mean, brothers and sisters. This is what we mean when we confess in the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell. We do not confess that Jesus went down to the fiery pit, the lake of fire. That's not where he went. He went to the holding place of the dead, where everyone went when they died. Later, when he ascended into heaven, he took all the triumphant saints with him. We don't have to go to Sheol. We go straight to Jesus, straight to heaven when we die. Another name for Sheol in Luke is called Abraham's bosom, in the story of Lazarus and the rich man. But as I mentioned, we don't have to go there. We don't have to go hang out in the roots of the mountains. We go straight to God and His holy presence. Let's pause there. Can I have the kids come forward for the children's message, please? You guys can, if you feel more comfortable, you can sit in the second row. I mean, you don't have to be so close. That's fine. That's childlike faith and obedience right there. Can I see your eyes on me, please? Guys, can I see your eyes? Can you see your eyes? The Lord be with you. Ooh, that was pathetic. Can we try that again, a little bit louder? The Lord be with you. Good job. Now, a couple weeks ago, we started Jonah. Actually, let me stop there. Who can raise your hand and tell me one thing you've learned already in the sermon? Hessel, give me one thing you've learned.
Jonah
in the whale. Can you add anything to that? Why was he in there?
Because he didn't listen to God.
He didn't listen to God. Caleb, you have anything you want to add? What else? Something you've learned?
Jonah's prayer,
which is chapter 2. Absolutely. Okay. Now, we talked about stories a couple weeks ago. Jonah is a really good story. Is it a true story? Thumbs up yes, thumbs down no. Is Jonah a true story? Yeah, it's in God's Word. God wrote it through his human authors. And Jesus even talks about Jonah. So we know it's true. Okay, hands down. Raise your hand if you like stories. Nobody here likes stories. Aubrey likes stories. All right, why don't the rest of you go back to your seats? No, I'm just kidding. You stay there. I asked you a couple weeks ago, what's the story of the whole Bible? A really short way of saying it. What's the whole Bible all about? Hessel? Do you forget?
Mm-hmm. About God?
It's about God, absolutely. What if I help you out, Hessel?
The Trinity.
The Trinity, it's about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Remember this one? Kill the dragon?
Get the girl.
Get the girl. All right? So let me try this. When I say, what's the Bible all about? You say, kill the dragon, get the girl. What's the Bible all about? Kill the dragon, get the girl. All right, a little reminder. Who could raise their hand and tell me, who killed the dragon? Jesus. Excellent. Jesus killed the dragon. Did Jesus get the girl? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Did Jesus get the girl? Okay. Who's the girl? Do you remember? Not Mary. Good guess. The church. The church is his bride. And Jesus saves us, saves the girl from the dragon. Okay, who can raise their hand and tell me, when did Jesus defeat the dragon? Hessel?
When he was crucified.
When he was crucified. And then on Sunday when he rose again. So he came out of that tomb, rock was removed, stone, big stone was removed, and he stomped on the dragon's head. Okay? And we don't have to worry about that dragon because Jesus already killed him. And he promises that he won't hurt you. And he protects you by his Holy Spirit. Now, does the dragon still try to tempt you? Tries to get you to sin? Yeah, he still tries to get you. But if you trust in Jesus, if you'll keep his commandments and trust the Holy Spirit, can he hurt you? No. No. Good job. Thumbs down, right? Alright. So, when you're in trouble, when you feel tempted, what should we do?
Pray.
Should we do that right now? Alright. Will you fold your hands, please? Close your eyes and please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for your story. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, killing the dragon. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to resist sin and temptation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can head back to your seats. Good job, kids. So, killing the dragon, killing the serpent through his death and resurrection. So, in Jonah went to the place of the dead. He went to the grave. And from there, the Lord in his mercy, the Lord in his love, sent the great fish to swallow Jonah up. And in chapter 2, we hear Jonah describe his experience in his prayer, where he did spend 3 days and three nights from in the belly of the fish. And this prayer is a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer of faith. Jonah turned from his disobedience, and he turned to the Lord. He called out to him. Now, while it's easy for us to read Jonah, read chapter 1, and he gets sent, and he tries to run away from God, and we kind of look down on Jonah and be pretty hard on him. First, let's not be too hard on him, because number one, Jonah knew his Bible pretty well. God says, go to Nineveh, preach the gospel, call them to repentance. Jonah knew right there what was happening. He knew Deuteronomy 28. He knew Deuteronomy 32. He knew the implications of the Lord sending him to the Gentiles. And it grieved him. Jonah, as a prophet to Israel, he's like a pastor to Israel. And to see his people disobey God so grievously, to worship idols. He loved the Israelites, and he did not want them to go into exile. He did not want God to remove his grace from Israel and give it to Gentiles. We see the same grief that Christ felt when the Jews rejected him. He wept over Jerusalem. But we also see the result. And this is the Lord working out his gracious plan to both Jews and Gentiles. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, who was the first to respond in faith? The Roman centurion. He said, surely he was the Son of God. A Gentile. The death of God's prophet, priest, king, and son, Jesus Christ, due to Jewish rejection, due to their disobedience, converted a Gentile. Same thing that happened in chapter 1. Sacrificing Jonah converted a ship of pagan sailors, converted them to the gospel. And in this, we also see Jonah as a type of the coming Christ. Though the Israelites did not understand that Jonah was foreshadowing Jesus, the coming Messiah, we now are able, after having received the light in the coming of Christ, in the proclamation of the gospel in the new covenant. I'm going to read this prayer again, and I want you to hear it from the perspective of the crucified Jesus. Verse 2. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? I called to the Lord. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Jesus, in the tomb. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. Imagine Christ's suffering of hellish torment on the cross and in His death. Christ suffered eternal punishment for you and for me. Verses 4 and 5. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. This is Jesus suffering our rejection in our place, banished from the Father's presence. His promise of resurrection and restoration to the company of the saints. Think Psalm 16. As for the saints in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. Lord, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. How about Psalm 23? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup, that is the cup of wrath, overflows. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A theologian recently said, if the Father's hands are underneath you, it doesn't matter how much of a load is on top of you. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. Seaweed is around Jonah's head, kind of like a crown, maybe. A crown of thorns for Jesus Christ. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life from the pit, O Lord my God. This is the grave. And this is the glorious resurrection. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. I remembered you. I remembered you, Jonah said. Now, this isn't Jonah saying, all this stuff that's happening to me, I forgot about God. Do you think Jonah forgot about God the whole time this thing was happening? I mean, he told the sailors, this is my fault, we're in this predicament. God was on his mind the whole time. His remembering, I remembered you, God. His remembering is appeal. An appeal to God to remember. Okay, think about the signs of the covenant. The rainbow. Who was supposed to remember by looking at the rainbow? God was. I will see my bow in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you. That's what he said to Noah. The sacrifices at the tabernacle and the temple, when they went up, the Israelites were making memorial. They were telling God, remember your covenant, your promise of grace. And we do this in our sacraments when we baptize. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper as we will next Lord's Day, Jesus says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Now, God doesn't need to remember, but we are appealing to His mercy, His promises, His covenant of grace. We make memorial so God will remember. Jonah's prayer went up as incense before God's altar. So God remembered His grace to Jonah and saved him from death. Jonah appealed to God, appealed to His love, appealed to His mercies. And this is a good example for us, brothers and sisters. A good example for us to appeal to God. Remember your promises, God. Remember your love. Remember that you baptized me. You saved me from my sins. Every time we pray, how do we conclude the prayer? We pray this in Jesus' name. We're appealing to our Savior. We are in Christ. And this part of Jonah's prayer points forward to Christ as the promise, as the fulfillment, and as the appeal for God's memorial sacrifice. All the sacrifices pointed to Jesus. All the memorials pointed to Christ. And when the Jews would sacrifice an animal, they would say, "Lord, be gracious to us." When we go to the Lord in prayer, we say, "Lord, have mercy on us for Jesus' sake." And this is why Christ rebuked the Jews in Matthew 12. You want a sign? Jesus says, "I'm it. I'm all those signs, all those types, all those shadows of the old covenant. Why do you want another sign? I'm the real deal. Wasn't Jonah enough for you? Wasn't Moses enough? Wasn't King David enough? They all pointed forward to me," Christ said. And we need to recognize this too. We can serve, we can minister, we can educate, we can labor, we can evangelize, we can do missionary work. If it isn't for Jesus, if He isn't our foundation, we're ignoring the real thing. If we do this, we're no better than the Jews of the Old Covenant. We're missing the forest for the trees. Look past the sign. Look, baptism isn't baptism for baptism's sake. We don't get baptized just to be baptized. We get baptized to point to Jesus. We eat the Lord's Supper not because we're hungry. If we're hungry, eat at home. We eat because we want Jesus. Because the supper points to Jesus. Don't hold on to the signs. Don't worship worthless idols. See Jesus. In verse 9, we get the culmination. Jonah prays, "But I, with the song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." This is Jonah's response to God's grace. This is the response that the Lord wants from Israel at Jonah's time. Look at Jonah die and look at him repent. They've been disobedient, just like Jonah was. They were being sent into exile into the Gentile fish of Assyria. They were going to die as a nation. The Lord wanted repentance. He wanted them to respond like Jonah does right here. And this is a necessary response for all of us, brothers and sisters, all of God's people. A recognition that He is Lord and we are not. It is His story, not ours. He calls us all to faith and obedience to His Word. And He calls us to selfless sacrifice for Him. We'll hear more about that during Sunday school. So please come and hear about sacrifice for Jesus Christ and the kingdom. Whether Jonah liked it or not, Pastor Jonah to all those Israelites, he had to obey God. No running away. Leave your comfort zone, leave your story behind and get in line with God's story. Follow Him in faith. Follow Him in obedience, submission to the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. Follow Him in suffering. Follow Him in joyful response to God's grace. He's promised it to us in His gracious covenant. He's confirmed it in His only begotten Son. And with a song of thanksgiving, brothers and sisters, we will sacrifice to Him. Salvation is of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Lord, we thank You for speaking to us this day in Your holy word. We praise You for creation and new creation, Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your continual work in us by Your Spirit. We pray, O Lord, You strengthen us in faith and repentance to trust in You, to flee the dark temptations of sin, and to honor and serve You in this world. Change and shape us to set our hearts upon You in Your holy way, that the fleeting ways of this world will not attract, that they will not tempt us to give into sin, and we be satisfied by You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together and respond in song to our God.